spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. So good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all to me. You've been so, so kind to me.
Hey there, Columbia Grove. It's Pastor Nick. I am the pastor of students and administration, and I just want to say thank you for worshiping with us today, whether that's in the building or online. Now, of course, if you find yourself online, it's the perfect time. Go ahead and type in a greeting or a blessing, and we'll make sure that we display those throughout the service. Also, thank you to every single person who's been giving faithfully. It's because of your giving that we've had the ability to increase our online presence. We've found technology that makes things run smoother, and we've also been able to provide the necessary requirements so that people can meet in the church building on Sunday safely. So thank you so much. Now, if you find yourself in the building, you'll notice that there is a basket at the back of the room. Feel free to drop off your giving envelope in there. If you're online, you can go ahead and click the message notes and you'll see that there's a link there so that you can give online. You'll also probably notice online community that there's a series of phone numbers in that message, in the message notes. That's for you. Feel free to text or call any of those numbers and that will directly connect you to a prayer team leader. So they will be able to pray with you. You can send your more personal prayers that you don't want public. That is all for you. Also, now is a fantastic time. Run to that fridge, grab some juice, grab some bread. We are going to be doing communion at the end of the service, and we would love for you to join us as we do this as a family. Also, please take a moment to like our page and also share this our online service. This allows us to expand and reach those that might not otherwise be reached on a regular Sunday morning. I'm going to close this in some prayer, and then I'm going to hand this off to the worship team. Again, thank you so much. I love you. And let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I am thankful. I am so thankful that we have this amazing group of people, Father, that show up on Sunday, that are not here because of the pastor, that are not here because of the church, but they're here because they love you, because they want to hear your word, and because they want to grow in you, Father. As we go throughout this week, Father, I pray that you constantly speak to us, keep us moving, and show us how that we can become better examples of who you ask us to be. All these things we pray in your name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Nick. Thanks, everybody, for being here online. Weirdest kind of worship environment ever, but you're putting up with it, and we're grateful for it. And thank you for being here online. We wanted to take a moment before we start into another praise song to give a chance to greet one another. So if we could put up a few greetings on the screen. There we go. Yeah, so Karen and Tony, good to see you. And Carol, well, that's not actually Carol, but I just happen to know that. Anyway, there we go. And and Patty, it's so good to have you here. We are worshiping as one church. And feel free to put up a few more of those greetings just as we're going through things here. But we're worshiping as one church today. So whether we are at home, whether we're online, whether you're with your house church, whether you look like Mickey Mouse, however you are and wherever you are today, we get to worship together as one. And so we're just super grateful for that. So we're going to move into a praise song, and this one's kind of upbeat. Now, at least in the room, we need to wear masks on our faces, but we don't need to wear them on our feet. So I invite you in the room. It might be a little weird, but you can stand. You can stand. We're going to do a little bit of you could either call this the Pentecostal two-step, or some of you could be like a rebelling Baptist, and you could really go for it, you know? And at home, some of you're in your pajamas right now, and the neighbors can't even see through the window, so you can get up on your feet, you can do a little bit of dancing, because this is a song that's all about just praising God and for the things that he's done in our lives. And if you are like online, maybe just comment a praise phrase, and at the end of the song, we're going to have a number of those praise phrases up on the screen just as a way of thanking God for his goodness. So let's worship together. Thanks for being here. Thanks for leading this team.
Good morning. So in this song, right before we go into the chorus, there's a pre-chorus that says, when my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. And I don't know about you guys, but with the last couple of months being in quarantine, it's been really hard to keep my mental state like, yeah, we're good. So it's been challenging. And I think that this song is... It empowers you to be bold and be courageous. And so when that part comes up, I want you guys to be able to actually sing it and know that God is enough for everything that we're going through. So I just want to say thank you for coming to church today.
night is falling and fear is calming, still you're calling me. When faith is lost and my hope exhausted, you will be my strength. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. I've decided I'm not giving up. You won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. An echo in my soul. Promises to me, and there's no stopping what you have started until it is complete. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. Well, I've decided I'm not giving up. You won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo in my soul. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. Well, I've decided I'm not giving up. You won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out, breaking out. Hey! Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. Your love is holding on and I won't let it go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. An echo in my soul.
Okay, so let's lift up some of those praise phrases. So in the room, you can shout them out. Yeah, or you can, yeah, some of there, you go. Yeah, have a seat, but shout them out. What's something you're thankful to God for? Your salvation. Thankful for a husband, Gala, church on TV. What else we got? God is my foundation. That's right, Bev. That's right. What else are we thankful to God for?
Our lives.
Any more online praise phrases? Good morning, church. Good morning, David. It's good to see you. Love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. Thanks for worshiping with us, Jerry and Sandy, as well. Appreciate that. So there is so much to thank God for. So let's just bow our hearts before him. And Debbie Garrow is going to lead us in a time of congregational prayer as we thank God for his goodness and lift our needs up before him. So let's just humble our hearts before him now.
Good morning, church. This is Debbie Garrow calling you to pray with me. Father in heaven, Almighty God, how amazing you are. You created the trillion galaxies and filled them with stars. You know the deepest places of each person's heart and our thoughts before we speak. You create and sustain every living thing. You invite us to call you Father. Daily we see your goodness all around us, in the beauty and abundance of nature, in all the people so dear to us. You bless us so lavishly. You care for us with perfect love. With grateful hearts, we honor and revere you. We respect and love you. How we long for our world to be as you will it. Equip us to live fully in your kingdom now, even as we await Jesus' return. Encourage us to every good work so that others may know your love through us. Father, all the world needs you. Help us to care for all people as you do, and especially the vulnerable. Help us to care for your earth and to be good stewards of all that you entrust to us. Please guide and bless all of our leaders, pastors and missionaries, your persecuted church throughout the world, peacekeepers, emergency responders, caregivers, medical personnel and scientists, teachers and students, every family, all who work in service to the public, all who work outdoors in the summer heat. Father, you know our every need before we even ask. Please send your healing for our bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits. Heal our relationships. Grant us wisdom to make good decisions. Lead us safely through our troubles as we walk beside you. Protect us from every evil. Comfort us, encourage us, give us peace as we trust and obey you each day. Today we also ask you for employment for Heather Olson, health for Tammy Wilson, healing for Rick and Alzie Kane's sister-in-law. We ask your blessings and goodness for Kelly Wentgrove's grandson, Rhett, and Kathleen Ruskin's son. And please bless Natalie Sue with the guidance and growth that she seeks. Father, please forgive us when we fail you and each other. Help us all to perceive your truth. Thank you for your gracious mercy and forgiveness to us, and help us extend the same to others. Cause your church to grow and flourish throughout the world, across our nation, in our community, and within your Columbia Grove family. Speak through Pastor Andrew as he brings us your word today. Bless each of us with new and deeper understanding. And send your word out unstoppable throughout the world and call all the people to hear. You are the hope of the world. May this pandemic motivate all people to draw near to you. Move us to use these days of our lives wisely and well. May we take time to know and love you more deeply and to strive to live out your word each day. Almighty God, our Father, thank you, for you always provide all that we need and even more. All glory to you now and through all time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Debbie. So as we turn our attention to the word today, we need to tell a bit of a story that happened in AD 64. The Roman Empire is at its largest point, and Nero is the emperor. It takes a mighty big ego to govern an empire that large, and a lot of ambition. And Nero is a man of ambition. He has gone so far as to actually have his mother poisoned and his stepbrother killed in order to secure his place on the throne. But the economy has been doing well in Rome, so he's kind of gotten away with it. But he finds himself in a dilemma, because you might have heard, you might have heard that part of the story. See, there's a huge fire in Rome. And so some of the political elite, now they've lost their homes. And now they're not so happy with Nero anymore. And so his political prospects are starting to turn, and he needs some cover, and he needs it fast. And that's when he hears about this little sect group that's happening in the armpit of the empire, a place known as Jerusalem. And he hears about these weird people called Christians. You've heard of them. They're little Christs. That's what the word Christian means, little Christs. And they are doing weird things. Maybe you've heard about it. they don't believe in all the Roman gods. Like, there are hundreds of Roman gods and they only believe in one. They're almost atheists because they have so little belief in all these gods. And you might have heard this, but see, when they gather, they do something with the body and blood of their founder. They are like cannibals. That's the word on the street. But the worst thing that they do, the thing that gets Nero's goat the most, the thing that he absolutely hates about this group, is they will not say the pledge. You see, every Roman citizen at that point, when they would greet one another in the morning, they would either say, Hail Caesar, or they would say this phrase. They would say, Caesar is Lord. And those Christians, they wouldn't say that. They would say something different. What do you think the Christians would say instead? In the room, help me out. What do you think they would say? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's what those Christians would say. They wouldn't get it right. They wouldn't say the pledge. They wouldn't bow the knee to the empire. And so, if you happen to find yourself needing a political scapegoat for a fire in Rome, could be a good choice. Now, back then, this might be hard to imagine, they didn't have social media. And so Nero wasn't able to spread gossip quickly. It had to happen the old-fashioned way through mail and, you know, gossip. But it worked back then, and the word started to get out. And Christians throughout the Roman Empire, well, things started to get very difficult for them. And as the word spread around the empire, they realized that as they're trying to lead people to Jesus, they're trying to proclaim the truth of the resurrection, it's not going to be just about, you know, getting a fair hearing with all the facts and all the evidences of the resurrection, all the evidences of life change and all the experiences of the Holy Spirit. They're actually going to have to be working against some ongoing negative bias in the empire. Things are about to get really difficult for Christians. And that's where the letter of 1 Peter comes in. It was written somewhere around AD 65, so shortly after all of this stuff starts to happen and the you know, these rumors about Christianity are starting to spread throughout the empire, as Peter realizes that the early church, that these early Christians, these people trying to follow Jesus in all of these places all around the known world, they are going to be facing some real hardship. So he writes a letter. And that's where we're going to be today. So get your Bibles out. You can even use your fake little glow-in-the-dark Bibles if you want in the room. But see, actually, you're watching on your Bibles right now, in some ways right now. But you can pull out a paper Bible to have it go along there, because we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. And as we do, I'd like you to imagine what it might be like for those early Christians hearing this word for the very first time. So Peter writes a letter and it gets distributed. So there's like couriers, like people just carrying copies of this letter all around to, you know, all these little churches everywhere that are starting to experience real hardship. And Christians would gather in rooms, maybe even about as many people as are in the room right now. It would feel like a fairly small group. They would gather in these spaces to hear the letter read. I'd just like you to imagine what it might have been like to hear this letter read for the very first time. I mean, you can see what's coming. You feel the pressure. You feel what's happening in the political climate around you. And you're like, this is not good. Things were hard before, but they are harder now. And it looks like they are going to get even harder before they get better. So wouldn't it be great to have a letter from somebody like Peter at this moment? Somebody that spent significant time with Jesus. Now, by this point, Peter is an old man. I mean, he is probably, we don't know exactly his age, but he's probably past 50. So there you go, which doesn't seem so old to me anymore, I'll tell you. But in the ancient world, that was actually be starting to be a pretty old man. He was starting to get up there. And he's been seasoned by life, and he's been seasoned by time with Jesus. And this person who was this sort of just braggadocious, just go for it, you know, aim or shoot first, aim later, you know, guy in his early years. Now he has been seasoned by life, and he's been seasoned by Jesus. And he has something to say to the church as they're heading into a time of hardship. And so as the letter starts off, and maybe you can just kind of flip through there as we go, because we're going to be landing in verse 22. As the letter starts off, he's starting to talk to Christians about how they're exiles, whatever land they're in, they probably feel like they're strangers in it because their hearts are different, their lifestyles are different, their values are different. He's talking to them about how they are elect, how they've been chosen by God, how them following Jesus, how them hearing the message of Jesus and responding to it was no mistake. God knew about it from the foundations of the earth, and how they have an inheritance waiting for them in heaven that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And you can imagine the early churches hearing that and like, yeah, I need to hear that, Peter. I need to hear that. And talking about how the hardship that comes into our life, this is about testing. This is so that our faith can be refined, so we can have a faith that lasts. And we need to hear that. We need to hear that. Thank you, Peter. And then as we move up into, because we're going to land right around verse 22, as we get a little bit further, where do we go? Yeah, verse 22, he starts to get into, so what do we do? I can just imagine what as they're hearing it, remember, because they don't have it in front of them. You've got it all written out. But so they can't hear ahead. As they're hearing it for the first time, the questions that might have been going through their mind, okay, all those things are true. We're experiencing hardship. This feels like a test. Does it feel like a test? This feel like a test? We'll come back to this question in a minute before we move on. Let me just put this question on the screen. And you can comment along at home, or you can chat with your neighbor about this. What tests of faith do you think Christians face today? Because I think we're facing tests. I think things are hard. How about you? Well, that's good. We'll come back to some social media responses. We'll give them about a little bit, because I know it takes about 30 seconds for me to ask the question and for it to get all the way around the internet and bouncing off the moon and whatever it needs to do. Okay, so, but it is hard. And they're in a hard season, and they're wondering what to do. What do we do? What do we do, Peter? Yeah, we're exiles. Yeah, we're chosen. Yeah, things are hard. Yeah, it's a test. Yeah, we know we're being refined. So what do we do? What do I need to do, Peter? What do I need to do? How many months of toilet paper do I need to stockpile, Peter? What do I need to put in my bug out bag, Peter? What kind of self-defense classes do I need to take? Because I can see what's coming. I know things are getting tough. And then we get to verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, you've heard this, you've heard the message of Jesus, and it's changing you, it's changing your hearts. Here's what I want you to do. Here's our battle plan, church. Here's how we're going to endure this time of hardship. Here's where the rubber meets the road, church. Here's how the transformed life gets lived out, church. Here's how we pass the test that we are in, church. Love one another, how? Deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart. Now that sounds awfully consistent to some of the things that Jesus has said, isn't it? You know, I can't even follow my own notes. But in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, see, you already know this. A new command I give you, Jesus said. What do you do? What's the new command? What's the heart of the gospel? Love one another at home. Shout it out like I could actually hear you through the TV screen. Okay, like love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. How do we love one another? As I have loved you. That's right, deeply. As I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, throughout this series, we've been talking about this phrase, because this is just an observation of how you know, of how life kind of is that crisis turns us inward. And you've seen it. You've felt it. I've felt it. Crisis turns us inward, but God turns us outward. And so what we're trying to do and trying to remind ourselves of is that we need to let Jesus put margin in our lives. Let Jesus fill you up. Let Jesus complete you. Let Jesus give you strength. Let Jesus give you hope. Let Jesus give you help. Let Jesus give you love so that you have something to give to others. See, I'm coming into this series with the assumption that you want your life to be a life of service, that you care about the people around you. But the truth is, in this season, it is really hard to live that out because we're feeling such a press. We're feeling such pressure. So as we go back to John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says to love one another as I have loved you. For you or me, for me to actually live out love, I need to be loved by God first. I need to spend time with God first. Our ability to love well starts with our time with Jesus, your prayer life with Jesus, your connection with Jesus, your abiding with Jesus. These things are not neutral. These things are essential. Or the way that we would put it here, our motto, our mission, our rallying cry in a short phrase is we are trying to love like Jesus. But for us to express the love of Jesus, we first have to experience the love of Jesus. Because the truth about Jesus-style love, here I'm not talking Hollywood-style love, you already know that stuff's just fake. But Jesus-style love always costs us something. It involves laying down our lives, our ambitions, our wants, our hopes, our needs often for the sake of others. And because it costs us something, we need to have it filled up from somewhere. So to love like Jesus, we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to be filled by Jesus. That's the battle plan. Says Peter, that's the battle plan. Church, for right now, in our time of testing, because I believe this is that time, and you can disagree with me all you like, but I have a feeling we're all feeling some of the same stuff. I have never been in a time, and maybe you've never been in a time, where there's been such a test to public health, such a test to the economy, such a test to our social structures. I mean, where politics has gotten more divided, more nasty, with the stakes higher and higher and higher than ever. Depression rates are up, substance abuse rates are up, suicide rates are up. This is a test. And so it matters greatly how we respond to that test. And that's why I believe these words of Scripture and our hearts being anchored in the Bible during this season is so absolutely critical, because those who have gone before us have experienced it as well. And as Peter is giving advice to the early church, seasoned Peter, Peter who has spent time with the Lord, Peter who has had the rough edges knocked off of his life, he gives this advice: love one another deeply and from the heart. So where does that start? Where do we love first? This is what I want to be walking us through in this series is, you know, first it starts with us spending time with the Lord, but then the first place that love gets expressed is to our immediate family and our closest friends. Now, right now, at least for this morning, this isn't going to be too hard to figure out, because you're probably sitting with them or close to them, or you think of the people that you long to be sitting next to. Like, maybe for some reason you can't. I'm thinking of some of my immediate family who I know are watching right now, and the border is closed, and that just, and I don't like that. But your family and your closest friends, these are the places where the love of Jesus gets expressed first. And let's also be honest. This is also the place very often where it's the scariest to live it out because the stakes are so high. Okay, I'm just going to talk to the husbands here for a second. Now, if you're in the room, you do not need to put your hand up. If you're at home, you don't need to leave a comment, none of that. But are there ever times, husbands, when you're like, you're just kind of scared of your wife? No hands. Because, not because she's mean, hopefully not. I don't imagine you'd marry somebody that's mean or cruel, but because the stakes are so high. There is no person in the world you would hate disappointing more than your spouse. And so sometimes it's really hard to have those deeper conversations, or you think of your kids, or your, you know, those people who are just right close by. Because you see, those are the people that for all of this, I mean, we live in a world where we put up, you know, filtered versions of ourselves on Facebook and Instagram, and we can airbrush ourselves really, really well. But there is a group of people that have been, you know, just equipped with some, I'm just going to go on a limb and call them BS detectors. Like, they just know. They know the difference between the you that you want everybody to see and the real you. They see you when you just roll out of bed in the morning. They see you when you had the flu and you've been in the bathroom all night. Or they see us at our weakest, at our unguarded, at our most unfiltered moments in life. And that is terrifying sometimes. And that's also the place where God calls us to live out our faith first. And so Peter actually gives some very specific advice to just a couple of groups, and I want to spend a little bit of time with that because, just because it's there. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says something like this. It says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." It seems that in the early church, just like now, there, it seems that women were responding to the gospel a little more quickly than men. And so there were quite a number of women, apparently, in the early church that had unbelieving spouses. And so Peter reminds them, as they're living out love, as they're looking to love one another deeply, well, first, make certain that you're praying for your spouse. And secondly, as a general truth, if you want to win the heart of your husband, it's going to be with love and not a lecture. It's going to be with a lifestyle and not a good talking to, in all likelihood. But see, the advice doesn't just go to the wives. You know, as you're trying, wives, you're looking to win over your husbands. You're looking to convince your husbands of the proof of the gospel. It also extends to husbands as well. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate. I mean, even if you're having a hard, like, this is the first basic truth of a life of love. If you're looking to love one another deeply from the heart, dudes, how about start with being considerate? Let's start there. Build from there. Be considerate as you live with your wives. And treat them with, what's the word? Respect. Some of the basic laws of love. What's it mean to love deeply from the heart? Be considerate, be respectful. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. That doesn't mean a differing of importance. That just means that you can probably bench press more than she can. That's all that means. She's the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let me just be enormously clear. If you're looking to love your family, husbands, if you're looking to love your family and you intimidate your wife, like physically or verbally, you have to power up to get your way, stop. That's not how Christian men live. And by the way, it seems like if you do that, your prayers are going to be hindered. If you're saying, I'm following you, Jesus, but I'm yelling at my wife, you got some work to do. You're maybe not following Jesus just as faithfully as you think you are. So, for loving one another deeply, that means being considerate, that means being respectful, that means not overpowering the other. It starts there. That's the basic. That's love 101. So let's talk about what loving like Jesus really is. It's about desiring the best for the people around you. It's about laying down your own comforts and needs and wants. It's about turning to Jesus first for strength. Letting him fill you, letting him love you, letting him be the source of your peace and strength and happiness so that it can overflow to the people around you. It is not your spouse's job to complete you. It's not your kid's job to make you happy. Jesus is more than enough for all of that. It's your job to turn to Jesus, for him, to him for strength, so that you can love your partner well, so that you can love your kids well. So you don't need to live vicariously through your kids, make them little gods. If they have a bad day, now you have a bad day. That's baloney. They are not ready for that kind of pressure, but Jesus can handle that all day long. Turn to him. Turn to him. Turn to him. That there's less of me, God, so there can be more of you. So as we look to apply this to our lives today, let me just ask you three questions. Okay, the first is this. How are you connecting with Jesus? How are you connecting with Jesus? I know this is a hard time. I know this is trying. I know it's difficult. And man, I feel the pressure just as much as you do to like go, you know, wake up in the morning and go straight to the newsfeed. You know, go straight to Facebook. Go straight to like what's happening in the world. What's happening in the world. What's happening in the world. Don't fall for it. When you fall for it, just get back on track. The first place we need to be in the morning, the first thoughts in our mind, we have got to stay connected to Jesus. Do you hear me, church? We have got to stay connected to Jesus. First thing in the morning, remember who the king of the universe is and it's not you. Remember who's in charge of this world and it's not you. Remember who the ultimate authority is in this world and it's not you and it's not governors and it's not presidents. There is one who holds all of human history in his hands, and you too. So we've got to stay connected. We need to abide with Jesus. That's where we find our strength. So that's the first question. How are you connecting with Jesus? How are you connecting with Jesus right now? And secondly, who is God calling you to love? Who? And so in a few moments, we're going to go into a prayer time. And as we do, you don't need to pray these names out loud. You can whisper them. And because in many cases, you're going to be whispering the names of the people next to you or the people that you wish were next to you. Who is God calling you to love? So as we move into that prayer time, just between you and the Lord, but I want you to name names. I want you to name names. Who are you asking for God to open their eyes to his reality? Who are you asking God to comfort? Who are you asking God to guide and provide for? Who? This is not generalities. This isn't just people over there. I mean, the place where love starts is a place that is very specific. And you know who they are. You know who they are. It's probably going to start with your immediate family and then with some of the friends in your life who they might as well be family. There's no biology or laws that connect you, but like that doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. We're all brothers and sisters. They are people who are so close that you're like this. They are like family. And so who is God calling you to love? And the third question I'd like us to spend some time with. How is God calling you to love? Because as you pray, See, the Holy Spirit, the same one that inspired this book, the same Holy Spirit that empowered the early church, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, by the way, the same Holy Spirit that can work miracles when we call on him, he can lead us. And so something might happen as you start to pray for people by name. You'll start to feel led. Jesus, help me to love more like you, especially to the people around me. So guide me, speak to me. How is God calling you to love? And don't be surprised if he tells you something. And then I urge you to do it. I urge you to do it. So we're going to spend some time in prayer. And we're going to spend some time in prayer around those three questions. And let's see what the Holy Spirit does. Lord Jesus, we turn to you, we come to you. We remember that you are the ultimate source of peace and hope and strength and happiness and joy and kindness and patience and everything that we need for our lives to thrive and every good thing that we want to give to the people around us. It ultimately all comes from you. You're the author of every good thing in the universe and every good thing in our lives. And so we come to you. And Lord, we thank you for the people that you have entrusted to us, that immediate inner circle of family and friends. And Lord, right now we want to take a moment to lift some of those names up before you, just under our breath, silently, or maybe even for some just out loud. We want to lift up some of those names to you and just asking God that you would bless them and that you would bless them through us. So church, lift up some of those names. Church online, lift up some of those names. There we go. And Lord, as those names are raised, lifted up before you, we pray not only that you would bless them, but that you would give us insight into how we can be a blessing to them as well. To Lord, give us the words to say. Give us the hearts with the margin to care about what's going on in their lives, to deeply care about what's going on in their lives. To do what we can do to build them up, and to trust you to do what we could never do, to build them up. Lord, we especially pray for those in our circles of family and friendships that don't yet know you, for the unbelieving spouse, the unbelieving sibling, the unbelieving child. Lord, guide us to know what we can do. And we trust you with the parts that we could never accomplish. You are God, we are not. We want to serve you in everything. And Lord, this morning, if there's anybody who's watching this either live on Sunday morning or they're watching this midweek, whether they're on Facebook or YouTube or they're here in the room, and if they feel distant from you, Lord, would you just impress on them by your Holy Spirit how much you love them? How much you have already done for them by giving Jesus to die on the cross for their sin, by raising him from the dead for their salvation and to the assurance of heaven? And Lord, would you enable them to take that first step of faith, to reach out to you and let you into their lives? Thank you, God, that even during this time of testing, you're refining us. You're doing good in our lives. And that no matter what life throws at us, that we can trust you. And so we do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we move into a time of communion, I did want to give a chance for people to respond actually on how you think we're being tested. So do we have any actually testing phrases? I haven't been watching the immediate feed. But we remember that God is our foundation. What else we need to remember from the online church? All right. Well, you just keep the conversations going in the feeds there. And let's take out these communion elements. See, this is not actually cannibalism. This isn't a real body. This isn't real blood, but it represents both of those things. And as we pray over them, God does things even in these simple elements, whether they are in a little plastic, sterilized thing dingy like we have here in the room. Ask me how I feel about these. Or you're at home and you've taken some real bread out of the fridge and you found some juice. Jesus gave his real body and he shed very real blood for us. In fact, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember, we proclaim what the Lord has done. And we look forward to what he will do in this world. This simple meal is an opportunity for us to connect with Jesus, and it's an opportunity for us to connect with one another as well. And so I'm going to lead us in a short prayer and then invite us to whether partake individually or if it's appropriate to serve one another with these words. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you gave your body, that you shed your blood so that our sins could be forgiven, that the scorecard, if you will, of our lives could be wiped clean, that we could be fully and completely welcomed into your family, that we could be your children and heirs. And so, Lord, we, as we partake of these elements, we thank you for that. We ask you to strengthen us for the testing, the time of testing that we are in right now. And help us to be mindful of the eternity that you have for us. Whenever that day is, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to serve one another.
Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
And so let's join together as a church family around the words of the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to say them out loud, whether you're here in the room, whether you're at home, whether you're on your own, whether you're with your house church, whether you're with a large extended family. if you're in the back of a car, if you're sitting in an RV, let's proclaim these words out loud. Freak out the squirrels around you, the cat, the neighbors. I mean, but let's lift up the name of Jesus as we unite together, not only as a church family known as Columbia Grove, but with churches and Christians all around the world in every language that we could ever imagine. Join together in declaring our praise and our trust in God. Out loud, church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So thanks for worshiping with us today online and in person. And we're going to put some questions up on the screen in just a moment that I would urge you to spend a few minutes talking to each other about, especially if you're here in a group. But if you're here on your own, or you're online on your own, I invite you to post along in the comments, and one of our online pastors, that's probably going to be Pastor Gayla in the back. Hi, Pastor Gayla, way back there. Okay. She's going to be interacting with you because we are in this together. This is also where the RSVPs for next week are opening up. So if you want to join us in the building next week, you can jump onto columbiagrove.org and get your ticket to ride or whatever it is. But please, those discussion questions, they matter. This is a chance for us to not just, you know, watch church, but to be church. This is where we get to be church for one another. So here in the room, there online, house church groups, let's be church for one another as we love one another deeply. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you for opportunities like this to gather. We thank you that your word speaks to us, that we are fed by time with you and with one another and with time around the sacrament. Lord, may your love fill us and overflow from us, that love like Jesus wouldn't just be words on a hillside or words that we wear on our wrists or a nifty little bumper sticker, but these would be words that guide us in how we live, especially to those and towards those who are closest to us. May the world around us see the love of Jesus inside of us, because you live here in us. We give ourselves to you. Use us this week. Use us, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Keep loving like Jesus. Proud of you. Love you. See you soon.